I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know what's annoying? These headphones really dig into my my glasses.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. They dig in my head, my weird-shaped head.
Your giant-shaped head. You don't have a giant-shaped head. Okay.
Well, giant isn't a shape.
You have a nice head. I like your forehead.
Wait, who's? No one says forehead specifically. I don't know why you're bringing that up.
That's why I married you, for your forehead. That was me and my husband, James, otherwise known as Mr. Sunday Movies. Welcome to Just Make the Thing. I'm Claire Tonti, and today I'm going to be interviewing that bloke about his YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies, which has over 760,000 subscribers, and his podcast, The Weekly Planet, that he does with his old pal Nick Mason, who drives trams in Melbourne. That podcast is now one of Australia's largest independent shows, which I think is pretty bloody top for a bloke who started all of this in his spare bedroom. So, as this show is all about how to start a thing and keep on making it, I couldn't imagine a better person to interview than James himself. So here it is, my interview with Mr. Sunday Movies. So your dad said to me that James has always gone his own way and he doesn't like to be told what to do, even when he was tiny. And that time when you were at kinder diagnosed as deaf, and then your mum took you to a hearing test, and then the doctor said his hearing's fine, and you just said, "I don't like my teacher."
Yeah, and it turns out I was right as well, because my parents didn't like her either. They never told me that, because my parents weren't the kind of people to be like, "You can do what you want. Your teacher's an idiot." Yeah. They never mentioned it. They didn't tell me till when I was well out of school.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not that I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told what to do by somebody I don't think knows what they're doing.
Yeah, which I think happens a lot in life.
Yeah, totally.
Life is, most people don't really know what they're doing.
No, nobody knows what they're doing.
No. And I think that for you, I can see that all through school and then high school and even uni, which you did. Most of that is being told what to do by people that you probably didn't think knew what to do.
Yeah, and there are obviously exceptions to that. And there are also times, you know, when there are great teachers.
Yeah.
And there's also times when I'm wrong, when I'm ignoring a person even though they know exactly what they're doing. Because as a kid, I think I know better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always kind of been like that. Yeah, which can be good. I'm sure it's also been a detriment at some point as well, yeah.
I think it's just, it means that the job that you found yourself in, well, actually not that you found yourself in, that you built, suits you.
Yeah, because I'm not really beholden to anybody other than
me.
And anything that I do with other people, it's kind of collaborative, like with you or with Mason or you know, the people who help me out with editing and graphics and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it really suits you. Some people like to be told what to do and be in a structure, whereas I think I've never seen you happier than when you are, well, clearly in your pajamas or in your slippers at home, cruising around working and doing your own thing. But I've also never seen you work harder either.
Yeah, well, I think I do like this kind of structure because I've kind of set the parameters, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I found for jobs that I like, and if I like it, the structure or whatever doesn't bother me. But yeah, but what I really like about this is that I am very strict. I adhere to a schedule, but yeah, it's what I've decided to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's kind of naturally kind of built towards that.
Do you find that, I know you were talking about this creative drive that you have, that if you don't do something creative, you're self-destructive.
Mm.
And I know that there's that saying about your brain being a Labrador, and that if you let it just leave it to its own devices, it'll chew up the furniture and then make a mess of everything.
Yeah.
And so you need to give it something to do and give it plenty of exercise,
mm.
which I kind of think sounds like a strange analogy.
No, I 100% agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe not for everybody, but that's the way I kind of work, yeah.
So where do you think that creative drive comes from? Because obviously not everybody has it.
I honestly don't No, I don't know. I think it's just kind of the way that I'm built. But one of the early times I kind of recognized it was when I was 11. We had to make a magazine for school, and I made a video game magazine about all the current video games and whatever. And I'd never worked harder on anything in my life. And I put all this effort into it, you know, and then the teacher loved it and whatever. And then the next assignment was like Australian animals. And I just went, nah.
Make a poster about a koala.
Yeah. And then I just slapped some shit together. And I didn't even twig then that, oh, it's, you know, when you do things that you like, you put more effort into it and what and or whatever. I didn't identify that for years.
Yeah, because you've got an amazing tunnel vision. I think once you find the thing that you like, you can just concentrate for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Like, what's a typical day for you in terms of how you structure your work?
Well, I sleep in because I work late generally. The way that we operate, and you know this obviously.
Yeah.
I'd normally start late and do a kind of, I'd do a feed or whatever for the kid, and then you'll do an early morning thing.
Yeah, so just talk us through, when do you get up? What's your actual day like?
Well, it depends on the day. Like it is, some days are busier than others. Like my weekends are more kind of the end of Monday, Tuesday and a little bit of Wednesday because I normally work through the weekends. But basically I kind of get up, I'll have a look at kind of movie news and trailers or anything that's happened.
Eat your muesli.
Eat my muesli every day. It's important. A lot of what I kind of do is just absorbing a bunch of stuff, which could be seeing a movie or reading an article. I don't see that many movies actually when it boils down to it. Cause a lot of the stuff I'm like, I'm not seeing that. That looks shit. I just won't talk about it. But, yeah. So a lot of it is just absorbing a lot of stuff. And then as the week kind of progresses, I'll begin to write something, for a Sunday video, you know, kind of roughly sketch out what we're going to do on the Weekly Planet. Which I don't know if people know this. I have a very loose structure, which is just topic, main kind of thing we're going to talk about, and then some letters and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, it's basically slowly chipping away at those things until I have to get them out and start editing, gathering images and video and whatever. And that's I don't know how many hours I work. I don't know. I don't have a set kind of. I'll do, you know, 6 hours today and tomorrow I'll do whatever. Like, it's just kind of whenever I'm free, I just kind of work out.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's in with your tunnel vision because I get to about 9 o'clock and my brain's done. Just packs itself in and says, see you later, yeah. Claire.
Well, you're definitely more morning than I am. You can't really work at night.
No, I can't at all. And I have to sleep. I have to get a good 8-9 hours. Whereas you can exist on very little sleep.
I'm not very good in the morning in general. I don't know why. Maybe if I
in the morning.
Maybe if I drank. I'm not like mean and horrible and whatever.
No, I hope not. Hate it.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah. I can't do anything.
Do you know what the first thing you say in the morning is? Every morning.
Yeah, that sounds about
when
right.
I wake up. Yeah. I'm alive.
Yeah, not again.
This. Yeah, this thing, which is so funny because you're doing what you love.
Yeah, I know. Yourself. It's ridiculous. I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot, but yeah.
But there is also, and I've talked about this a little bit, there's a little bit of guilt with me associated with leaving teaching for this. Because I feel like for teaching and what a lot of the stuff we specifically did before this was helping people and kids specifically. And that's why we kind of do a big kind of charity push each year is because you do more of it than I do. I don't do a lot of that stuff anymore. But the way I justify it to myself is because we've got a kid now, I get to be at home with him. So, I still kind of do struggle with what am I chatting about Spider-Man for. Like it does that kind of does weigh on me a little bit.
It's interesting though, because I always say to you, read the emails, because there are so many wonderful emails that you and Meso get from listeners who just, and I'm sure people who are listening to this would agree, who love the show and look forward to their Mondays to hear you guys chat. And we often get emails from people who've been through really tough times saying that listening to you guys has really helped them through.
Yeah.
And I know it's small because it's a podcast, but then also you really can't underestimate the value of a good old fashioned laugh and a share of something you have in common with other people. And also just often this is repeated and it would be interesting to see how many emails say this, people feel less alone, like they feel connected. And I think not just with you guys, but with the whole community of wackadadoos. Am I saying it right?
Wackadadoos.
I always say it wrong. There's someone always
It's not even a real
me.
Thing. I said it as a passing comment. And
which happens
Mason,
to you a
And
lot.
Mason kind of clung to it that it became a thing.
Yeah. Mason loves doing that.
He did it because
it would hate
yeah,
me.
Yeah, he knew yeah, it would annoy me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that that's what's so wonderful about what you do, but I guess it's different to teaching in that it's not face to face.
Yeah, exactly. It's not face to face, and to me, that's I know all that stuff is important. And if it was a show that I was listening to, if I was on the opposite end of that, then I can see how I would feel that way. But to me, there's a disconnect in terms of teaching a kid how to read. Let's say,
yeah,
do you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like,
100%.
And also for me, there's an element of selfishness to it because I enjoy this. I enjoy doing it a lot, and it feels like a hobby that has become a position. Yeah. I didn't always enjoy teaching, as we've talked. We talk about this all the time.
There's so many things that were terrible about.
Like
it.
I love teaching, like physically being in a room with kids and teaching and doing an activity together and having a conversation, but every meeting can just go die in a ditch.
Yeah.
Because they're never good. They're rarely productive.
Yeah.
So I don't even know where I was going with that.
I think that's why you're good with the pencil spin thing that you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I have fidgety hands.
You
that's
do,
why,
yeah.
yeah,
which is why you
I've
also ordered
like
your fidget cube online.
I did. I got on that before it was cool. They're everywhere now. And now mine lies at a corner somewhere in one of the rooms in our house.
Yeah, I find this all really interesting. What advice would you give people who have a thing that they want to start but are scared or have a day job? What would you say?
Just don't worry about it. Just let your dreams die. No.
I actually think there's something in that though.
What? Really?
Yeah, I do. I think let your dreams die and then just start something small.
Yes.
Just don't dream big. And I'm a teacher and yeah. I'm saying don't dream big, but start small.
Yeah, you got to start small.
Don't get all grandiose with your plan and think, okay, I'm going to start this thing and by tomorrow it's going to be my whole career and I'm going to be online everywhere or famous or I don't know, whatever elastic goal it is that you have. And I have that problem too with when I start things, I often think straight away it should be bigger than Ben-Hur and perfect. And if it's not how I imagined it to be, I'm just going to give up.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to get there, which is crazy. But I think some people are quite similar in that way.
Mm.
So to me, I think you start small.
Yeah. And for me, I do have a lot of that in me as well. But I've also kind of been, and it's the same with using the iPhone to record like the early stuff I used to do. You just got to make the best of what you have and make the best thing you can with what's available to you or the skills that you have.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. You don't need to go out and buy really expensive equipment. And also, things are a lot cheaper than what they used to be, like USB microphones and cameras or whatever you want to do, if technology-wise at least, can be is a lot cheaper. But yeah, definitely starting small and realizing that if you can't do it for, and I know everybody says this, you can't do it to be like, this is going to be great, this is going to be my job or whatever. Mm. Because you probably, you know, it probably won't be, I guess. I don't know whether that's true or not. But
Elizabeth Gilbert, who I always talk about, says this. She says, be creative because human beings are happiest when they're making stuff.
Right.
And if it happens to be something that ends up being your job, well, whoop-de-loo and aren't you lucky?
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's just going to be a thing that you do alongside everything else you do that enriches your life.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and if it becomes more and more of what you do, maybe even down the track, like Chanel, I know, who we're doing the podcast with, isn't aiming to give up law altogether forever, but she might do 2 days a week of yoga teaching and 3 days a week of being a fancy law person. And
that was my plan as well, to kind of do both.
Yeah, it was always to do both, wasn't it? And then actually your fancy goal was to be an IT teacher, I remember. And then you got there.
That was more kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was a goal, I guess. I didn't end up enjoying that as much as I enjoyed.
No, people just chased you around asking for their passwords.
Yeah. And because you get a rotating kind of roster of kids as well. It's better, I find it's better when you got the same group every day and you kind of build a rapport. Anyway, it's kind of,
it's not exactly. But I think that there's something really in that you can...
Also, I'm shit at IT. I'm really bad at it.
You did do a lot of sleeping under your desk.
That was after the kid, though, when I was when I was working, you know, too much. Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Yeah, go on.
But I think what you are really good at, though, is helping kids with OT. Like that film competition that you worked on so hard with those kids.
Yeah.
I was like, ended up winning an award
6 years ago or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun. No, a lot of that came from them. And it was, I was there to kind of channel it, I guess.
And bring it out.
But no, that was all them. That was, I was just there.
But you enabled them to create something way more than they would ever have thought.
That's true. Their version would have been terrible.
Yeah.
No, that's not true at all.
No, but I do think that that is what the joy in teaching, or for me always was that you can show kids what's possible and then help them bring whatever's possible inside them outward.
Mm.
And I think that there's that saying about everyone has a treasure. Oh, this is so corny.
Boo!
Yeah. No, but everyone does have, you know, a treasure within them, and it's how to bring that out. And if you've got the courage, or if you have someone who can support you and mentor you to bring that out. I know you're looking at me like, oh God, that's so terrible. It doesn't always mean that what's inside you is going to be the next best-selling authory book or whatever, but it's something that's unique to you. Maybe it's just that you're really good at making a passion fruit sponge, James.
I'm not good at that. You good at that?
No, I'm terrible at cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't mind it, but I'm not great. But I think that's the thing we were going back to, is that don't give up your day job.
Absolutely not. 100%. I mean, I guess it depends how old you are as well. For me, it wasn't even an option. I mean, I guess I could have, but we would have just lived with no money for many years.
And I actually don't think you would have worked as hard.
No, it definitely made me work harder. It made me manage my time better. And because a lot of it is, you know, like I said, it's self-management and time management and building your own structures. And having, the busier I am, the more that I do, I find. Yeah. I know a lot of people say that, but if I had infinite time, which I have before, like tail end of uni before you kind of start actual work, I didn't do anything because I had infinite time, but I was kind of structureless. Yeah.
So interesting, isn't it? You need that adrenaline of, oh shit,
yeah,
I need to finish this.
Absolutely. Another thing that I find is important, it's who you kind of surround yourself with for what you're building in particular. For example, when I started doing this, there was never a point where you were like, I mean, you'd get frustrated because I'd kind of skip out on things because so I could make stuff or whatever, and you'd have to cover for me like we talked about. But one of the best things about this and what made it easy to kind of do this was having you there who didn't stop me from doing it. As in, you were never like, why are you doing this? This is a waste of time. Even though when it seemed like it was a waste of time and there was a good chance that this was going nowhere, you never stopped me. You kind of understood that if you don't, you need to, like, this was something that I kind of needed to do. And I think if you're with people who are stopping you from doing that, that can be very kind of detrimental. I'm not saying you should break up with people, with someone or cut all your friends off. What I'm saying is, trying to make them understand, or at least have someone who already kind of understands that. It's nice to have them realize that it is a kind of a long road, and the road might not go anywhere. It might go off a cliff, but I think it's really important to have that person or those people supporting you. And that's also a lot of the reason why I didn't tell anybody, because I didn't want people to be like, "What the hell are you doing? Why?" Because I still get a bit of that now, and I think I feel like I'm going to get it. That's probably more the case of it now, because it's like a real thing. But there was a concern of mine that people were just going to get in my head about, this is a waste of time and you're an idiot. So,
I think some of your friends are still a little confused.
Yeah, they have no idea what I do or listen. They none of them care, but which is good though. I like that. I don't care about them either. I'm glad. No, that's not true. But actually, a lot of them, I don't know what they do for jobs. I have genuinely no idea.
I ask them, but I still don't understand.
Yeah, I have rough ideas, but
I know most of them don't really enjoy their job.
Yeah, some more than others, but yeah.
It's a different mindset though, because some of them enjoy their job in that they're really good at it.
Yeah.
And it's building towards something, but they're happy to do that within the framework of a position at a company,
right,
or whatever it is.
And I don't think there's nothing. I'm not.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It just goes back to the way that you're built, I think.
Yeah.
And you would be miserable doing that.
And I think a big influence on me is also Office Space and The Office. It's because I saw that and I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I'll kill myself. I shouldn't put that in, should I? You want to cut that out?
No, yeah, we can cut that out. Well, I do think as well that there have been other people in your life who've supported you.
Yeah, totally. My parents were never like, you need to do this and get it and do this kind of job or whatever. They've always been like, work hard and whatever. But they were never, what are you doing? Like, stop. They were always been encouraging. When I was like, I'll do business, they went, all right. And when I went, I'm quitting, they went, all right. So, yeah, that was the only time they kind of pushed me was when I was kind of doing nothing or being an idiot.
That's when you had that long fringe.
Yeah, when I'm a little
fringe. When you're a teenager.
It was a pretty good fringe. Yeah. We should post a photo. No, that's not.
You were hanging out at train stations, being a rat bag.
Yeah, that's me. Good old rat bag Jimmy, they used to call me.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
Well, thank you so much for saying that about
me. Well, it's true. It's this, like, what I do is literally impossible without you. Because what you do behind the scenes and also to allow me to do it and give me the space to do it has meant that this has grown to what it is. And I just don't think people realize that. And I think it's important that people do.
That is so lovely. But you know that the opposite is also true, that I like being a support crew and I am so amazed and constantly surprised by how much you've achieved and how you keep surprising me in how fast you work, but how hard you work and how funny and creative and odd you are. And now this is just going to devolve into
What is this?
And I really love you.
I thought it was going to take a turn into insults. So I was like, and you're odd and you've got grey hair and you're kind of weird looking and all your friends are dopes.
It is strange that you're a goat. But
that is strange, yeah.
Love does funny things.
You can't help who you are.
No, no, you can't. But I honestly am. And I think about the number of years I've known you and I do get really teary thinking about all the things that we've been through and how hard you've worked through all of it to create what you have for yourself and for us. It's not, you've always, and you said it at the beginning when we were talking about your journey. I hate that word, but
yeah,
you know,
it's gross.
It is gross. But when you were talking about your story, I guess, and how you started everything, a big part of it for you was building something for us, building a life raft out of.
Yeah, that's what I called it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is in case anything happens or we need, you know, I built a life raft, which became an island, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows where things will go.
I'm currently building another life raft. Yeah. Just quietly on the side.
And it's just going
to
leave me.
I really am, though. I'm always thinking to the next thing. I always need to have two things on the go in case one of them goes under.
Yeah.
Which is what the podcast is as well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And then Planet Broadcasting is kind of becoming another one. And I guess that goes into working for yourself, that you don't have that network behind you or a big, you know, comfortable contract and, you know, 5-year plan or whatever within in a company, which is not always guaranteed but gives you a lot more, you know, cushioning, like we don't get sick leave and all those sorts of things. So having you do that though for us has been amazing. And you literally, and I don't think people can tell in a way because it comes across so naturally, all the content that you create and the podcast is so fun and funny. That you can't always see or hear just how much work you do that goes into it, you know?
Thank you.
No, as in, that doesn't make sense. What am I trying to say? That
it's like that metaphor about the duck above the surface and the feet are going,
Yeah, and I always think that that's excellent.
Yeah. Well, the easiest part is kind of the podcast itself recording is I find really easy because of everything else that's kind of prepped behind it. And Mason's the same, like he comes prepared. He pretends that he doesn't. And a lot of time he doesn't, he just kind of wings it.
He always walks in and goes, what do I need to watch?
What am I watching?
What was I supposed to have watched?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Watch.
Yeah. But
Maiso surprises me too constantly because, yeah, he comes across and says, oh, I don't prepare at all. But he's so great on his feet.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He can create worlds.
And that's also about, exactly, like the scenarios that he kind of spins off. And that's the other thing that's, when I was talking about working with people who, you know, who support you. Like I said, we've known each other for years, and I knew that he was the guy to do it with.
I remember from the very beginning you always said that to me, that if you're going to do something, you do it with Mason.
Yeah, because he also gets it. He understands podcasting and media and movies and all the things that we're on the same wavelength in that sense. Like a lot of my other friends who have no interest in this kind of stuff, it would be like pulling teeth, you know what I mean? But for him, I've been really lucky because we've always kind of been on the same wavelength in that way. So it was a no-brainer when I was like, who am I going to do this with? It was always going to be Mason. Before there was a YouTube channel, before there was anything, we talked about doing something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean,
and then I'll ditch him.
Ditch him on the island.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Get on the life raft and go to the next island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's really interesting too, because Mason is so clever.
And also the best thing about it for me is he's funnier than me. And I love that because he can he can surprise me with things.
I don't know if he's funny.
No, he absolutely is.
He's got a different skill set. You're both hilarious.
Well, I just think he's on a different level than me. And I think
much better than you.
Yeah, yes. If it was, yeah, I just think that's, you know, and that, yeah, that's why a lot of it. You don't want to go with someone who you don't think, you know, who's not complimentary to you or not better than you, it's, you know, in some
or
way.
Just different. I think you need to work with someone who's different.
Yeah, compatible, but different. Yeah.
And his brain works really differently to yours. Like, he couldn't do what you do.
No, he's either. A dope.
No, but he works so well when you give him the freedom to just come in and do what he does.
Yeah.
I think if you tried to force him into doing other stuff, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Like if you forced him into a structure and a routine and he had to create all this other stuff, it wouldn't work.
Because he wants to do what, you know, he wants to do.
And yeah, and he's got his own kind of creative genius spark thing that happens when he comes into the podcast studio. And just generally, he's a really interesting guy too.
The podcast is more of a collaborative back and forth thing. And then the YouTube channel is just me yelling into nothing.
You do like to yell into the internet.
No, I don't. You can't get a read on what's good or funny or interesting when you're making a video. You're like, is this any good? I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. So.
Well, I think the indication that you have so many subscribers now probably means you're onto a good thing.
I just mean like specific things. Like sometimes I'll make a joke or, you know, a point about a movie that you don't think anything about. And then that's the thing that people kind of pick up on. And often I think, oh, this is great. You know, people will love this. And then, you know, it barely, you know, gets acknowledged. So you just sometimes, you know, but sometimes you just don't know.
You just don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, I know a lot about you, but maybe not everyone does, because I can tell that you don't always like talking about yourself.
No. I don't know why. I don't really think I'm very interesting, and I've never really thought that about myself. And that's not for you to say, oh, come on, you're very interesting.
No, you're not interesting. You're a very boring human being.
Oh, man. So I don't know. I just, to me, because I'm me and I live being me every day all the time, it's not that interesting to me. And for me, when I'm talking to somebody and them telling me about the thing that they do is more interesting than talking about the thing that I do.
And for you, sometimes even other people talking about themselves isn't that interesting.
No, often it's not. Yeah. But I definitely prefer that than me kind of talking about what I do. And that's also, like, that goes for people, like, close to me. I didn't tell anybody for years what I was doing. Well, you know that because I used to tell you not to tell anybody.
Yeah, I know. I had to put up this whole thing that you really were into video games and that's where you were.
Yeah, people thought I was just sleeping and playing video games, which I still do a lot.
Which you used to do quite a bit of, but you don't do so much anymore.
Yeah, well, the thing I find with video games is it's there. I like video games a lot, but they're a time sink. You put so much effort into them. At the end of the day, you don't really have anything to show for it.
Yeah.
So as a hobby, they're fun. But then if I, you know, play video games for 5 or 6 hours in a row, which I don't really, can't really do now anyway, it's all kind of for nothing, you know? So I've tried to make kind of the things that I like, watching movies and now a little bit more playing video games and talking about this stuff. If you make a part of your job, then you feel less bad about about having to do those things, yeah.
Is that how this all started?
To, like, do a thing that I like? Or
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, because there's a few kind of people on the internet that I watched, and it got to the point where I realized that you can just be a regular person and do this. And I think what counts for people who gain a bit of a following is, like, individuals, is they put their own personality into it.
Yeah.
I find the most boring websites and articles and videos are just like, it's just a generic voice talking about a generic thing, like the top 10 Spider-Man costumes or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a way to do that, and there's, you know, that's really fun and engaging. But I find often if it's a person that I like who's interesting or funny or can do something creatively with the visuals, then that to me is more interesting than just someone kind of reading a list.
Yeah. Is that, do you think, why your videos are so funny and special?
I think a big part of it is, that's also a big part of that turns people off me, I think, as well.
Really?
I think it goes both ways, because your personality isn't going to mesh with everybody, you know? So often I'll get comments like, I hate your accent, you know, I hate your voice.
Or just, I hate you, you should die.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Something. But it also goes the other way. I like the kind of the people that, because people then on the other side of that like you for who you are also.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You just kind of... And that by far outweighs the other side of it. Yeah. For me at least.
Do you think it's amazing? I always think this is amazing about the community that you've built, that there just seems to be so many people that are similar to you that you meet.
Yeah.
All over the world.
I think so. And I think it's the same with, you know, friendship groups and things like that. A lot of people I find who listen and interact with seem like people that I would interact with in real life.
Yeah.
They just happen to be on the other side of the planet.
They sound like you. That's what I think is so funny.
Yeah.
And the way that they talk and the emails that they write just sound like you, and it's great.
Yeah. We obviously share like common interests, but it's nice to be able to connect with people who have similar kind of, personalities with, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody, obviously, but compatible personalities.
Yeah,
at least.
It's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that you're awesome.
Okay.
I am also really interested in how your brain works. And I wanted to know from the very beginning why, like, what is this compulsion that you have to create? Like, what is it about? Because I've known you for how long? 12 years?
Yes. 12 years.
Yeah. I wanted to take you right back to when we first met, and you were changing from your business degree to study teaching.
Yeah.
And then something happened to you.
Yeah. Well, out of school, I went to a regular kind of school, boys' school, nothing spectacular. But what my school, I've kind of realized since then, bred is just kind of middle management people. Mm. Just people who come out and whatever you go in with, because I used to like drawing and writing and that when I was a kid. And then when I went to high school, it wasn't intentional, but the way it kind of, they direct you more they direct you towards more kind of marketing and management and business and accounting and things like that. So coming out of school, I'm like, oh, well, everybody, I don't know anybody who's done anything like this.
Yeah.
And the internet was still a big thing, but podcasts weren't really taking off at that point.
Yeah. They weren't a thing.
And so I just went, okay, I'll just do business. I'll be a businessman. So
I'll be a businessman.
Yeah. And I'm a terrible businessman as well, as you know.
I think you're actually much better than you think.
No, well, okay, at least numbers-wise, I'm no good. Like, I look at an accounting spreadsheet and I just go blank and I just cannot register it. It may as well be in Chinese. Like,
is that why you, when I start talking to you about the accounts, your face goes...
Yeah, and numbers and whatever. I'm just like, no.
You just disappear into your phone.
Yeah. So over the 3 years of this business degree, which I took 4 years to do, it just, again, not intentionally, it just crushed me. And I wasn't like sad or depressed or anything like that, but it just, everything creative, it just kind of took it out of me. Yeah. And then halfway through I realized I was doing some kids camps. So we used to do them as well. This is kind of where we met, with underprivileged kids. With St. Vincent de Paul.
We sound like great people.
Yeah, we're great people.
It's all lies.
Not anymore, because I don't do any of that stuff anymore, because I'm old. But, and I realize that I enjoy that and working with kids and that side of stuff more than I enjoyed business. So I decided that, look, if I get through this business degree, I can do a shorter teaching degree and then I can become a primary school teacher. And then as soon as I switched over, something just kind of clicked in my head. And we've talked about this before, but if you look at my business notes, if you could find any, it's just dry and it's just bland writing and it's barely anything because, you know, I barely paid attention. And then my teaching notes are just filled with pictures and cartoons and drawings and like jokes and just really dumb stuff. Because that kind of, when I started, it's little things like reading children's books and things like that, because you have to, and young novels and just kind of
drawing fed up turtle.
Yeah, fed up turtle.
He's my favorite character.
The background of
yours.
My phone for many years, which I actually drew in a meeting at teaching, because teaching also is quite soul crushing in that way a lot of the times as well. Basically, for those people who don't know, and why would you? It's just a turtle that's just very upset. Not even upset, just kind of like. Yeah.
Just your general facial expression about most things to do with having to be forced into certain situations like meetings and lectures.
I think I'm a bit of a baby in that way, because everything I do moves towards making our life kind of more comfortable. Yeah. In terms of things that we can kind of enjoy doing.
I don't think that makes you a baby. I think that makes you an amazing person.
Yeah, but this was a roll of the dice. Like, I understand that there is kind of skill involved in getting to this point, but it's also I was at the right place in the right time when kind of comic book movies took off and had the right level of knowledge and also editing skills and things like that to kind of be at the base level for
it. Don't they say though that often luck is just opportunity and then sort of skills meeting?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and preparation.
Yeah.
That's what they
totally.
The,
yeah.
Our hero Hugh Jackman, he said that, I think.
Yes, that's right. He probably did. He says a lot of great things.
He does. So the baby that lives with us and me, I always think are so lucky to have you in our life because you've done so much to build what you have. And I don't think everyone knows this about you necessarily, that your whole outlook on life really changed once you realized that you could do something creative.
Yes.
Don't you think? And then also what happened when that, it kind of pivoted to this point where you would work a full-time job, full-time hours, and then you would come home and you would work a full-time hours again.
Yeah.
On this, from the very beginning, from the word go, once he started.
I think that was more of a gradual thing. But yeah, I was able to do it fairly well until we had the kid. You know, when that happened, I was still teaching when that happened.
Yeah.
And there was those few months before, because I'd already decided that I was going to leave at this point.
Yeah.
We're pretty hard, but yeah.
Can you take me back? So we hit uni, you started doing really hilarious drawings like Fed Up Turtle. And what was another character?
I can't remember.
Really want you to put them online.
One of them
really
I remember like was, it's a Jedi lifting a sandwich off a plate and being like, look at me, I'm pretty good. This is all the kind of great stuff you get. It's the dumbest thing ever.
What about the shark, Motor Shark?
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, man.
What's a Motor Shark?
It's so funny. It's a shark with wheels on it. Anyway, they're really cool drawings. I'm going to make you put them.
They're not that good. That's something I always wish that I, because my drawing kind of stopped at like a 12-year-old level. I wish it's something that I had have kept up with.
But, I still think you've got a really unique kind of style.
I'm basic. I can draw a little bit, but I wish I had have done more of it.
But I think what it is that your humor is in the drawing. Anyway, so going back to all of this, we started with you drawing at uni in teaching and then moving into teaching.
Yeah.
And then from there, how do you suddenly get to be Mr. Sunday Movies with 750,000 subscribers? What was that? What happened?
There was a few things along the way. One of the most significant things was when my channel was shut down, because we we obviously, we
even before that though.
Even before that.
So how did you actually go from, because you know me, I am terrible at starting a thing.
Right.
How did you actually start the thing? Like, what was the very first thing that you did that launched this? And I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask you.
It was a weekly video I would do on Movie News. It was called Sunday to Sunday. That was what it was going to initially be.
Yeah.
That YouTube channel name was taken. So I had to change it to Mr. Sunday to Sunday, which is a crap name. and then I shortened it to Mr. Sunday Movies, which I also hate. But hey, and so my goal was initially do one movie news video a week. For those people who might remember, there was a few shows I took influence from. One was Zero Punctuation. You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it was a video game review show.
No idea.
It was great, which I really love. And there was another one called, I was on this website called Screw Attack. It was this guy called Destin used to do it. It was like a daily video game news thing. Mm. So those are the kind of things I kind of took influence on. And I realized also you didn't need a whole lot of equipment to get started. When I started, and you can tell from the audio quality, I used to just record it on my phone. So that's how
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is that how it started?
That's how it started,
yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And then you edited it.
Then I edited it, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of those I could probably put together now in about half an hour, but that used to take me ages, like, you know, half a day or whatever, yeah, of work to do that. And that was just a bit of a creative outlook because I like kind of messing around with editing and video. Yeah. I'm not a great editor. I'm all self-taught, but I like messing around with it and I like the ins and outs of how it works.
Do you know where I think this all started?
Because
It's really interesting that you say you started with Mr. Sunday Movies or Sunday to Sunday, but I actually think you can go even further back and it's kind of two things I reckon that happened. One was that you started teaching and
yeah,
then you started thinking about the world again in a different way and that part of your brain opened up.
Totally. And teaching also made me realize I was good at teaching and I was good at uni at teaching because I was interested in it.
Yeah.
And I still miss teaching and I love it. There's a lot of
writing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, totally.
You
and
had
there's
an amazing literature lecture.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I won some award which was very bizarre. But
not bizarre, well deserved.
No, it was very weird. I never actually cashed in on it because I went overseas. I got all these vouchers for books.
And,
but anyway.
And that's what I think, because when I think about where all this came from, because people ask me that all the time, I think about first that you started teaching and that was one thing, but then you also went traveling and we went backpacking through Europe. And I actually reckon that writing part of your brain opened up and then you started creating those travel blogs.
Yeah, that was a huge part of it. Yeah. I've still got that journal somewhere. I kept it, but I used to just every day I'd just write about what we were doing for the day. And I just wrote I wasn't like, what an amazing trip to the Tower of Pisa. It was all like, this place is shit and I hate it. And everyone here is an idiot. And then I take excerpts from that, which is kind of what I do now with the podcast. And I posted them just to friends on Facebook. And they got a really good response.
Yeah, a couple of our mates couldn't wait to get the next episode.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because normally travel blogs are terrible.
They are terrible. And mine also, I haven't looked at it since, but mine's probably also terrible. But it gave me something to do because I find that I need, if I don't do something, anything, you've seen this as well, I go mad. Like I kind of stew in my own sadness. If I don't have some kind of outlet, even if this was doing no money and no views, I would still have to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, because I've seen you grow as a human person because of this creativity thing that you have, because when you weren't creating, you were so frustrated and miserable.
Yeah.
And I don't even realize, I don't even think that at the beginning you realized that.
No, I kind of had a crack at, a very brief crack at kind of going into regular mainstream media. You know this. And I did a week's internship at the Gruen Transfer,
which
is a great Australian show about the ad agencies and whatever. It's very funny. Yeah. It's on the ABC. But I realized from that I don't want to get coffees for idiots for 10 years to make a show that I probably hate. That's a great show, obviously, and everybody there was really nice and really positive and whatever, but I was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be beholden to anything to fetch coffees for TV executives to maybe, you know, get a line in a show 8 years down the track. And by then, you know, I was, you know, like 25 or 26 or whatever I was. I was like, I'm too old to do this anyway. I'm like, fuck this. Fuck all these people.
See, it's funny, isn't it? Because I always think that's a real barrier for some people, that they think they're too old. Like, they hit 25.
I know. It's ridiculous.
That's so young. Yeah. But and also, they think that they've kind of hit the end of the road. And I don't think you can ever hit the end of the road.
No, absolutely. But I think for me, the difference was that I saw that as an age where you can't just kind of pack it all in. I would have had to move to Sydney and whatever. And not that I even had that opportunity. It was never even presented to me. I don't think they were that impressed with me anyway. But I, and like I said, everybody was really great there. Like, it was a really positive experience in terms of the workplace. And it was interesting, but I just realized that I don't want to do it.
Where to next?
Probably about a bit more of the same. I'd imagine. No, well, look, the Planet Broadcasting thing, which you're building, people who listen to your podcast would know this, but that's all you kind of bringing all the different people together. Like, I know what you like to do is, and this is the same when you were teaching, is bring kind of creative people together to help build a thing. So I think you're just doing that in this kind of medium. So I guess to help kind of grow that with you, maybe I'll do some more different stuff with Mason down the line. I don't know. For the moment, it's just kind of more of the same. And I've never kind of been one to do like big changes. It's just kind of gradual stuff. So things will change. I just don't know exactly what that might be. There's a few things in the work which you know about, obviously, which might be outside of which is outside of podcasting, but
top secret.
I'm not banking on it. Let's put it that way. if none of that stuff happens, that's fine. I like you working from home. It's great. It's the best.
I have a prediction for you. I think
dead by 40.
You are very unusually grey.
I am.
I have a prediction for you though. I think all those things you will create, and the reason you will have to is because of that massive creative drive thing that happens, that you already get bored by the stuff that you're creating at the moment sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I do. Yeah. You got to kind of, I guess that's another thing. You got to kind of find ways to make it interesting for yourself.
And as you always say, keep moving.
Yeah, keep moving. Exactly. You always got to keep moving. You got to look what other people are doing and then not copy that, but don't get left behind. You see that with a lot of people on YouTube or anywhere, people that kind of get stuck in their way of doing things. You got to kind of keep moving. And I'm absolutely guilty of that also. But yeah, I don't think I'll be on YouTube forever. I kind of hate it as a platform. Not the people or anything like that. It's just it's very unstable. And podcasting and building your own thing is, it just seems more stable at least for now. And if worse comes to worse, I'll go back to teaching, which isn't so bad.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well, I live here, so it's fine.
And letting me into the man cave.
Yeah, no, that's a regular room, but all right.
Oh, yeah. Well. Okay, you have been listening to Just Make the Thing. I am Claire Tonti, and this has been an interview with Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep, it has.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the interview. I hope you got a lot out of it. I think I really did. You can find us, if you want more information, at Just Make the Thing on Facebook or on Twitter at Make the Thing. You can also find us at www.planetbcasting.com, where more of our shows are available too. And I'm also on Twitter at Mrs. Sunday Movies. So shoot me a text, send me a line. I'd love to hear from you. You can also email the show at contact@planetbcasting.com and I'll try to get onto your emails. Thank you so much to all those people that have emailed in. It's been a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to read messages and tweets from people who actually listen to our show. It's really kept us going and kept me actually making this thing. So far, so good. And thank you so much for the support. Okay, have a great week and I'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.